This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. We are here today once again with Dr. John Zavell, board-certified plastic surgeon located in Toledo, Ohio, who is here to talk with us about breast augmentation. Dr. Zavell, welcome back to eHealth Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be back.
So tell us, to kick off this episode of eHealth Radio, what is breast augmentation for those that aren't familiar, and what are your recommendations for someone who is considering breast augmentation?
Well, breast augmentation is a medical term that means to increase the size, shape, and appearance of the breast. Usually this is done through a breast implants. Occasionally this might also involve using a breast implant and taking the tissue that the patient has and molding it along with the implant to produce the most appropriate appearance. Really the goal is to produce not only a bigger breast, but a breast that's appropriate to that person. So what I recommend when someone's considering breast augmentation is that they be sure of what they're trying to achieve. That is, I want them to look for, is it a natural breast that I want? Do I want to enhance the proportion and shape of my chest relative to the rest of my body? Am I looking to complement an athletic look that I have? I don't want to interfere with exercise having an implant that's perhaps too large, but I also want to look good in my workout clothes. Also, do you want to look age appropriate? And I recommend that in choosing an implant or choosing the procedure that you do so in terms of wanting to look appropriate for your age. And finally, I think it's important to not be bashful. And if you think that you want a size that's larger than you think might be what someone might think is appropriate, let your doctor know. Let me know. Because I think the reason people are unhappy sometimes is they don't come out and say just what they want. So that's what I'd recommend.
Good recommendations. What are reasons someone would undergo breast augmentation?
Well, most women are seeking breast augmentation for a few reasons. I think the most common one is that they want to be able to wear clothes and have the clothes fit on them in a complementary fashion. Either they have very small breasts or perhaps they're flat-chested and they want to look more feminine. Finally, they may also feel that if they had the breast implants, they would look more attractive. Sometimes women have breasts, but they feel that they've gotten so flat over time from having children or just from age that they would like to see the fullness restored, and having a breast augmentation is the way to do that. Occasionally, there are ladies out there who will have one breast definitely a different size than the other. And the best way to complement and make two breasts that are the same look and shape is through breast augmentation. So again, most commonly to obtain a feminine look, correcting a lack of breast projection so that one can wear the fashions and outfits that make them look the best.
Now that we've covered some of the reasons and recommendations, let's look at the procedure. What does the breast augmentation procedure entail, and what is recovery like?
Well, I would divide a breast augmentation procedure into three phases. I would say phase one would be the preoperative phase. And the most important part in here, of course, is developing the rapport with your surgeon and the communication about what it is you want to achieve. Determining a size and a look are probably the most important parts of phase one. During that phase, that's when you'll also decide where you want the incision on the breast to be. The most common places are by the edge of the areola, where the areola and the native breast skin meet, or under the breast, in the crease under the breast called the inframammary fold. It's difficult to know what size you want preoperatively, so what I have found useful is something called a volume sizing system. One of the implant companies make this. It allows women to put a breast shape on top of their own breast within a bra, which will give a pretty accurate idea of how much that additional volume in the future will add to their breast and what they'll look like. So once they've helped they've been able to determine a size and a look. Then we can move on to phase two. Phase two is the actual surgery, and this surgery is done under a general anesthetic. It usually takes between an hour and a half and an hour and 45 minutes. During that surgery, usually the patient and I have decided on a size or a couple of sizes, and during the operation, I will use implants that are designed to be used specifically during surgery only to help determine the best look. Those implants are placed in the breast, the patient is sitting upright, and we get a better look of which one of the ones we thought ahead of time would obtain the goals that she desired. After surgery, we're going to enter into phase three, and that's recovery. Well, recovery itself is, I think, a part that scares a lot of people at first when they think about having surgery, because how limited are they going to be? How much of their time is going to be interfered with? When can they return to work? In general, you can do light activity from the day after surgery, including walking, some light exercise, and light activities of daily living over the first 7 to 10 days. You just want to avoid doing things that are too forceful because you have a risk of inducing some bruising in that first week to 10 days. That's really the same for any operation anywhere on your body. But you can go walking, you can ride, you know, you might be able to use an ellipse machine on a very low setting. By a week to 2 weeks, you can certainly be out using some light exercise equipment. Maybe you could be riding a bicycle. By about 3 to 4 weeks, maybe you're out running. And so you can get back to activities relatively quick. Sutures themselves from the operation are generally out at about 2 weeks. The thing for people to know in recovery is how the breasts will appear and what phases they'll go through until they obtain their final look. At first, when the implant's been placed, it's supposed to put into a spot where there never was anything before, and therefore the tissues overlying it are going to need to stretch a little bit, and so the breast is going to feel very tight, and it's going to feel as though the breast implant is a little high on the chest and overly projecting. But that takes a matter of only a few weeks to relax to where the implant will start to obtain the shape that you're desiring long term. So most people find in that first week or two that they're not quite sure about the look, and that sometimes limits their confidence in being in social situations. Certainly by a few weeks, it's starting to obtain the look that it's going to have long term, and you can expect the final look long term to be present anywhere from several weeks to a few months after surgery.
Very informative today. We are with Dr. John Zavelle, board-certified plastic surgeon, located in Toledo, Ohio, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Zavelle, what are the complications associated with breast augmentation?
Well, I think the most common complication, and this may not even be the correct use of the term complication, but it would be a situation in which there has been some failure to communicate the size that was desired. And I find that what's helpful with a sizing system and encouraging women to say what they really want to see, that will help avoid this particular outcome. I think sometimes it's a little embarrassing to say you want a larger size if you feel that that may be looked upon as having a breast that's too big. But if that's what you want, you need to be open with your surgeon, let them know, and that's going to avoid what I will call the most common complication in terms of communication. Outside of that, I would say that there's a few things related to just having a foreign body within your body. An implant itself should really have very few problems, and for most women, they'll go through their lives and never, ever experience anything other than just the pleasure of having the implants. However, every time you have a foreign object in your body, a little bit of scar tissue forms around it, and most of the time, that's soft. Occasionally, it becomes a little more firm. Something called a capsule is formed around the implant, and if that becomes a little bit tighter, it means the capsule has shrunk, or you have what's called capsular contraction. This is usually mild, and usually requires nothing else to be done. But once in a while, a secondary surgery is needed to release that scar. What people think about with implants is they think that the implants might leak. They should know that today's implants that are made out of silicone contain material that is so cohesive or sticks to itself so much, it's like the consistency of bread dough. And as we all know, a lump of bread dough on a counter doesn't leak. So the new implant's very, very unlikely to have a problem along those lines. A saline-filled implant might leak, but it's felt that their possibility of that occurring is probably less than 0.5% per year.
It looks like you have an upcoming event on November the 6th, an evening of beauty. What can your guests expect at the event, and will they be able to speak with you about breast augmentation at that time?
Oh, absolutely. Evening of Beauty is a term that we coined years ago to describe an event that we'll have usually twice a year in which we want our patients to be up to date on what are the newest products and services available, as well as to answer any questions they might have about things they've heard regarding plastic surgery or they've heard about products. At this service, new attendees are able to meet not only me, speak with me, but also my staff. They may also be able to interact with other patients who are happy to express their experiences and give them some hands-on knowledge. During that event, if time allows, people can have a consultation for whatever they desire. However, if time does not allow, people who attend that evening of beauty will be given a free consultation in the future at the office.
As always, very helpful information on the topic of breast augmentation. Thanks so much, Dr. Zavelle. If you would, tell our listeners where they can find your practice online and how they can be in touch as well.
I think if you go to johnzavellemd.com, that's J-O-H-N, Z like in zebra, A, V as in Victor, ELLMD.com, johnzavelle.com. You can find my website there, and it will link you to all the other information you would need.
Well, once again, Dr. Zavelle, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And the pleasure is always ours. We've been speaking with Dr. John Zavelle, board-certified plastic surgeon located in Toledo, Ohio since 1993. And once again, the website of reference is johnzavellemd.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.